I also want to give a shout out to Katrina. It's her first time doing hosting. Didn't she do great? Okay, let's run the video. Good morning, everyone. Okay, you're getting me today again. As Pastor Richard and Pastor Chrissy, they're actually right now having a party. What's up with that, man? All right, they are actually in Hamilton, all right, together with our new church plant there, Every Nation Hamilton. Okay, we started the plant initiative back in January, and today, they are there to induct 7 new members into the church. They're establishing the core team, and they're having a great Christmas party, all right? Praise God, right? We're going to claim Hamilton for Jesus, okay? And we are in the month of December, so it's summer months, it's Christmas months, and all our Pinoy family is like, whew, finally, I can celebrate Christmas and nobody will look at me like weird, right? Because since September, you've been hiding your Christmas tree. You'll be playing your Christmas carol, but you turn it a little bit down just in case someone hear it. But now you can be loud and proud with your Christmas tree, with all your Christmas decorations, right? Am I going to get invited? Never mind, I'll still come. Okay, just like with every summer, we as a family, we like to go camping with a few families. And those camping trips are really, really priceless time for us as a family. Who likes camping? Okay, if you are new in New Zealand, you got to try camping, all right? It's awesome. You're going to have lots of fun enjoying the sun, enjoying the weather, because let's be real here. When it's winter time, New Zealand is really not... It's okay. Let's just enjoy the summer that is upon us right now. I can see that you're feeling the heat. You're like, woo-hoo-hoo. Okay. So 2 years ago, our family, together with a group of families, we went to Russell and Paihia. Beautiful place, beautiful, beautiful place, all right? So this is like we have 30 of us. You know, we went for a great weekend, enjoying the scenery of Paihia, right? Just like any group photos, okay? If you want to have a great group photos, what do you need to do? You need to have jump shots, right? So this is the guy's jump shot at Cape Rianga, and then on that side is the lady's jump shot. So they try. Quite a bit of difference, but, you know, I remember one of the very, very interesting thing that happened. We drove all the way to Cape Rianga from Russell's. That's like a 3.5 hours drive. We spend the evening there, and we have to drive back to our campsite. If you know Paihia, okay, the easiest way to get to Paihia, because Paihia is like a peninsula, so you get to the ferry port where you drive to the ferry, and then you take the ferry across. Now, the problem is the ferry service stops at, I think, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. We left Cape Rianga at 9 o'clock. Okay, so no ferry for us. There's like 5 or 6 cars. Isaac, I'm getting a bit of echo here. Can you help me have a lot? Right, like 5 or 6 cars. So we have to drive around Paihia through an unpaved road to get back to our campsite. So by the time we get to the unpaved road, it's like 11:30, 12 o'clock midnight. Okay, so the distance that we're driving, it's only like the visibility, it's maybe 2 or 3 meters. Unpaved road, you have nothing else. It's actually quite scary. Okay, I was looking through the group chat and I can see some of the guys are like, whoa, this is so scary. And we got separated. Okay, so there were a few cars that went ahead, a few cars that were a little bit behind. So we got separated, and suddenly, my wife that was sitting beside me said, I got a message. One of the car has a flat tire. Then the group of us that were in front, I think about three or four cars, we all of us suddenly stopped, knowing that one of our convoy cars has a problem. So we got down, we made a plan, okay, what shall we do, what shall we do? The guys decided, okay, why don't four of the guys go back and help? Because, you know, I'm sure the person who has a flat tire knows how to change a tire, but it's in the middle of the night, no lights, no visibility. So we were a bit concerned, all right? So we got two cars, packed all the children into the two cars, all the ladies into the two cars, and one or two men went back to the campsite, and the four of us jumped into another car and went back, tried to find where's the car that was in trouble. So as we drove back, we found the car. All right, they're trying to change the tire. Okay, how many men does it need to change a tire? Probably just one, right? Probably just one. But, you know, we men, we're like, let's do this together. So four of us got down to the car. And when I went down, I noticed something. Okay? I noticed there was another stranger that was standing there. He looks like a pretty big guy. Don't know where he came from. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning that time. Dreadlocks, with a big dreadlocks, big guy, smell a little bit suspicious with drugs, and he was walking his dog. Okay, he came up from the woods. Can you imagine? I don't know how they feel, right, when they saw the guy walking with the dog, saw the big guy walking the dog, and said, "Hey, mate, do you need help?" And he jumped in and helped them change the tire. I was standing there looking in amazement. I said, "Wow. This guy just came out of nowhere, took the tools and changed the tire." Okay? Somebody caught this photo. Okay? In my mind, it's an angel. An angel that smells like drugs. Okay? He helped us change the tire. Six or seven men standing around. He did the whole thing. Thank you. And he walked off and disappeared into the wood. Came out from the wood, did his stuff, disappeared into the wood. Okay, I'm sure when we were standing around that time, some of us was like ready, like just in case this angel decides to be naughty. Come think about it. A man came out from nowhere, did his stuff, smelling suspicious, went back into the woods, disappeared, and all of us were safe. Okay. So I was standing there and I was like, okay. I told the guys, he got to be an angel. And some of the guys, no. He smells so bad. I said, you know, sometimes maybe that guy is really doing his stuff in the woods, you know. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and came to go and help those guys. You know, God sometimes does that to us. He uses anyone, send the angel there, go help, and then disappear. We were like, whoo! Okay, so we are planning for another camping trip end of this month. And we're praying that we don't meet any angels. You guys laugh, right? So a lot of you is like praying, oh, when can I see an angel? When can I see an angel? But you know what? When you see an angel, it's probably means you're in trouble. So we are saying, now God, we don't want to see any angels. We just want to have some fun. Well, we are starting a new Christmas series, okay? This Christmas series is called Fear Not, okay? It is looking at the three times when angel appears to Mary, appears to Joseph. Okay, I'm just trying to gauge my audience here. Does anyone know who Mary is? Okay, who doesn't know who Mary is? Okay, I don't have to explain. Joseph, do you know who the Joseph? Not who the Joseph is. Who Joseph is? Okay. And the angel appeared to the shepherds. Okay, so three times the angel appears in the Christmas story. To Mary, to Joseph, and to the shepherds. Okay, so every time the angel appeared to them, what did the angel say? The angel would say, "Fear not." All right? Okay, so I don't know why he has to say that. Maybe during the time, just like us, the Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, their expectation of the angels is like a fat baby angel, all right, playing harps, okay? That's what how we perceive angels to be, right? But in reality, the angel could be, the Bible says he's an archangel. Archangel Gabriel. The angel is fierce as a warlike creatures that can strike down a nation on God's command. And yet, it can be submissive to God to protect an innocent child. All right? So, that's why when the angel came, the three of them were like, "Wah!" said, "Fear not." Oh. Wrong series. Okay. For those of you who are younger, you do not know what this is, ask your parents. Okay, let's look at our text for today. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Wow, this angel is actually quite polite. "Greetings." Oh, no. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." A polite angel. So trying to put the whole tense situation at ease. So what was Mary doing during that time? If we look at the backstory, okay, the scripture says here that the Virgin Mary was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Well, betrothed is like engaged to Joseph, but it's a little bit more serious at that time. To be betrothed means that if you want to break off the engagement, it's like a divorce. You actually have to go through a divorce. It's not like the current time where you said, "I don't like you anymore, I'm just going to break off the engagement." Okay, so it is actually a step up from engagement. So why is this important? Maybe it's important for next week's sermon. But she is engaged to Joseph. And if we look at the scripture and understanding the culture, she is probably around 14, 15, 16 years old. Because during the culture of that time, okay, when a girl hits puberty, there will be promised or engaged to a man. Okay, so we do not know exactly how old she is, but that's around her age, 14, 15, 16. So what do you think she's doing? She's probably sitting in her room. It's like, "Oh, my wedding dress, how does it look like?" Okay. Or she'll be thinking, "Oh, the floral arrangement. If only I can have Auntie Ione helping me with the floral arrangement. Oh, the food. Maybe I can ask Nanam to supply all the canopies." All right. So she's thinking about her wedding. And then suddenly the angel came. And the angel says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Okay, so she's in her wonderland planning her wedding, and the angel appears. She's like, "What are you doing here?" Okay, sometimes some of us are like this, okay. We fear of what God has planned for us when things have been going well for us. Okay, we're just cruising along our lives, planning, doing our stuff, and suddenly God came and said, "Hello, favorite one. The Lord is with you." You're kind of like, okay, what does God want now? I'm not sure if you have anyone like this in your life, you know. Whenever they call, you kind of like, "Ugh. It's him again." Ignored, go to voicemail. Oh no, it's Pastor Alfred. He's calling me. Must be wanting me to serve. Beep. Go to voicemail. Ding, ding. Oh no, a message from Pastor Alfred asking me to come and have lunch. Ooh, very suspicious. Seen, but no reply. Oh no, Pastor Alfred is calling. He must have found out about that party that I didn't invite him. He will still probably turn up. Right? I don't know if you have this, you know, people in your life that you're like, Sometimes I think we unknowingly treat God this way. In other words, we want to be close enough to God to get all the good stuff. Right? We want the promise of heaven. We want all the blessings in life. But not so close to God that I have to completely surrender my life to God. If I completely surrender my life to God, He may make me serve in Kids Church. He may make me be a greeter at the door. I'm an introvert. I can't greet people. He may make me give up something that I really enjoy. Or He may even ask me to join a connect group. That's too much. It's too much of my time. Or what about this? God may even ask you to forgive someone. You're like, wow, God, you're crossing the line, man. That's too much. That's too personal. No, don't talk to me about that. So why are we afraid of God's plan? Why are we afraid that when God come and send us a greetings, we're like, ooh! I think some of us are like Mary. Can you relate? Or I'm talking to only some real people here. All of you are perfect beings with your halo, brushing it, shining your halo right now. So maybe I can just walk off and don't have to do this sermon anymore. Okay, I think some of you are feeling like, oh yeah, he's talking about me. But let's see. So even when the angel says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So the angel assured Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor. If I'm Mary and I know that I found favor, I'm probably thinking, wow, okay, I found favor in God, so probably I will get that dream wedding that I want. Woohoo! I can get that wedding dress that I've been pestering Joseph to get me. Woohoo! Or maybe Joseph will agree to take me to New Zealand for honeymoon. Woohoo! Right, but no, the angel told her that she will conceive and bear a son and shall name him Jesus. Wow, that's a game changer. Can you blame Mary for how she react? Right, 14, 15, 16-year-old, right, just kind of doing her thing, planning for her wedding, planning for her future, and suddenly she's told, like, you will conceive a son, you will name him Jesus, he's going to be the Son of God. If I'm Mary, I'm not so keen either. So don't be so quick in judging her, right? So I'm like, wow, this is a game changer, okay? This is not like asking me to serve in Kids Church or to join a connect group, okay? This is something serious. See, this interruption at that point of her life has come at a really, really inconvenient time. Okay, I don't know, but do you agree that a lot of time God's interruptions are often inconvenience? Okay, you're running your business smoothly and suddenly He asks you to do something else, right? You're raising your family, and then God suddenly asks you to start a ministry. When God interrupts us, His interruptions are very often very inconvenient. When we look back at Mary, she knows her future has been planned out, right? How does she know? Well, because she's a teenager, and teenager knows everything. Okay. So, suddenly the angel come and interrupted her, and she's thinking, oh my gosh, what will people think of me? I'll be stoned to death. During that time, if you're pregnant out of wedlock, you'll be stoned to death. Can you imagine her conversation with Joseph? She's like, Joey? Oh, Joey, why don't you have a seat? I have something to tell you. I'm pregnant. And Joey's like, you're pregnant? How can it be? And Mary said, oh, don't be alarmed. It's by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph is like, oh, that's okay then. No, not really. Joseph's like, whoa, okay, this is even getting more absurd. Okay, where did that excuse come from? But they went through that, okay? Thank God that the angel visited Joseph. That's next week's sermon. Okay. And Mary may be also thinking, oh, I'm going to be the son, the mother of God. This is serious stuff. How am I going to discipline him? How am I going to discipline Jesus, the Son of God? Or maybe Jesus is so perfect that he will discipline me. Like, okay, so all these crazy thoughts starts to go through her mind. So what can we learn from this? A very important principle that we can learn from Mary is God's interruption, what we call an interruption, is often God's invitation to do something greater and something better. Okay, think about some of the heroes in the Bible. Okay, Noah. Okay, we all know him as the great carpenter that built the big boat, right? That saves his family and all the species of the animals. I wonder why he saves the mosquitoes. But what was Noah doing before that? Noah was just a farmer, farming with his family. And God interrupted his life for something greater and something better. Okay, think about think about Moses. Okay, so Moses, he was just shepherding in the desert for 40 years already. Life has been smooth. He's got a wife, he's got families. Suddenly, God interrupted him with a burning bush. Hey, Moses, you're going to deliver all my people from Pharaoh's. I said, all? Yeah, all. Like now? Yeah, now. Okay? So God interrupted Moses. His calm, perfect shepherding life to do something greater and something better. Think about Saul. He was busy killing Christians. Right, Saul? But God interrupted his life with the lights from heaven, blinded him, turned him to Paul, and said, you're going to be my apostles that will speak to anyone who will listen to me, and you're going to write 3/4 of the New Testament of the Holy Words. It's like, okay, I'll just put down my sword and I'll just follow you. So God interrupted Noah. God interrupted Moses. God interrupted Saul, that eventually became Paul, so that they can do something better and greater for God. See, in Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, it says, my plans are not your plans, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my plans than your plans. Okay. I believe that some of us in this room this morning, we often shake off God's invitation. Okay. We call them, it's an interruption from God. When actually God is inviting you to do something better, something new, something exciting. Okay. when my wife and I, we decided to take the full-time ministry, I remember God precisely says that, Alfred Kelly, you are going on an adventure with me. Okay, it's an adventure. An adventure doesn't mean smooth sailing, right? There'll be an adrenaline spike, they'll be crying, they'll be laughing, but it's going to be a great adventure. Okay, I don't know how it will play out, but if you will be sensitive enough to see what God calls interruption, it's actually possibly God's invitation for you. God might take you to somewhere new, like New Zealand, Hamilton, Tauranga. Okay, doing something different, something special that you could never have predicted on your own. Okay, just think of how some of you got into our church right now, right? You were just doing your stuff, and then you have a colleague or a classmate, okay, from Every Nation Auckland City. They invite you to church, and they invite you to their connect group. And you're like, no, I'm cool. But they're so persistent. They're like, come on, join us, our connect group. Every Friday, we have food, we have laughter, we have fun. And you're like, okay, this is so annoying. I will just go one time so that I can get him off my back. Some of you are like, yep. So you attend once, and hopefully that guy won't disturb you again. And then when you attend the connect group or you attend the church, boom, God met you in the connect group. God met you in the church, right? The people around you pray for you. They start to care for you. They start to love you. They start to keep following up. You're like, oh no, they're still chasing me. They're still annoying. And suddenly, you felt your prayer has been answered. You felt the love from the people. You're like, wow. So God is real. And you gave your life to Christ. And you're part of the connect group. Part of the church. Okay, so you start coming to church, you start attending Connect Group regularly, and the Bible begins to make sense to you. You're like, oh wow, now when I actually read it, it actually makes sense. And you begin to share your experience with other people. All right, you begin to see another colleague or another student. You begin to say, oh, this is what happened to me. Why don't you come and join us? You suddenly become the annoying person and started inviting people to come to your connect group and come to church. Say, come on, this is what has happened to me. Come on, let's be part of us. So you started to invite them to church, and they suddenly become Christians. And you're like, wow, this is so satisfying. I did not know that helping another person to meet God has so much fulfillment. You're like, this is great. Okay? And because you've been doing it so well, this annoying pastor said, why don't you attend Disciple Makers? And the pastors keep asking you, come on, join Disciple Makers. You'll learn how to be a disciple maker. You're like, okay, maybe I'll just attend it once so that I can get him off my back. You went for Disciple Makers class. 6 weeks, you learn how to engage with the culture, you learn how to run a connect group, you learn the four E's, the process of discipleship. Is like, wow, I can actually do this. Okay, so your connect group leader say, great, you have attended connect group disciple makers, now you can be a connect group leader. So you start interning and you start running a connect group, and your connect group starts to flourish. It's like from 2 person, you started like, well, just 2 person praying, and turn to 4 person, turn to 8 person. After 3 years, you're like, 8 person, never mind, I'll keep persisting. You pray and your connect group flourish. And this annoying pastor come to you and said, wow, your connect group is really flourishing. You need to multiply. And it's like, oh no, what's happening to my life? I'm a disciple of Christ right now. God, you have really interrupted my life. I'm from a non-believer and I am suddenly a disciple maker. I'm starting to make disciples. Many people are getting saved and know you. Wow. That interruption has turned into an invitation for something great. Families are blessed. Marriages have been changed. Kids, they come to know Christ because you allow that one interruption. And take that as an invitation from God to do something. You know, many of us, when God interrupted us, we feel inadequate right? I know, because I am that annoying pastor that actually goes around and asks people, hey, do you want to come to Connect Group? Do you want to start a group? Do you want to attend Disciple Makers? And most of the time, the first thing that I hear of is, oh, pastor, I'm not ready. I don't think I'm good enough. I'm not like Jesus yet. Oh, thank God you're not Jesus. Because I know a lot of you said, no, I'm not adequate enough. I don't run a Connect Group. Sorry. I'm starting to pray for people, though. I'm starting to read my Bible. So great. That's a great step. Progression. Okay? So all of us, a lot of us, we feel inadequate when God invites us to partner with Him to do something greater, to go on an adventure with Him. Did you think that I feel perfect when God asks us to come into full-time ministry? I'm just like you guys. Nah, God, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I do feel inadequate. So for Mary's situation, what did the angel say? Let's look back. He said, and Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? It has never happened before, you know. Angel Gabriel, virgin, getting pregnant. Nope, never happened before. Not in the entire of the history of mankind. In Mary's mind, it's impossible. Okay. But the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Wow. So if you actually respond, you mean the Holy Spirit will help me? You mean God will be with me? Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. So in Mary's mind, it's not going to happen. But what did the angel say? Nothing will be impossible with God. All things are possible with God. Now, let's take a step back and reflect. How can I ever forgive that person that has done that thing to me? Swindled my business, said this about my family, persecuted me. It's impossible for me to forgive that person. But God says, forgive. All things are possible. And it will set you free from the bitterness that you're carrying. Or you may be like, God, you want me to financially partner with the PNG mission trip? I'm struggling financially. Really, God? How can I make this work? God says, do you remember Elijah and the widow? The widow gave everything to Elijah, and her jar was never empty. See, trust me, for with God, all things are possible. God, there's no way that I can continue in this marriage. The fights, the strain, I can't go on, God. But when they begin to submit the marriage to God and allow people to speak into their lives, say with me, all things are possible with God. God, my life is so busy, right? My visa hasn't come true. I'm trying to establish myself here. I'm really struggling. And you want me to serve in this ministry? You want me to be part of the kids' church? You want me to be part of the guest service, the music ministry? God, I just can't. I don't know how I can take up my time. And then, but you begin, okay, I'll just do it once and twice. Just come on a Sunday. And there's this indescribable joy that you feel when you serve people. There's that reward that you receive. It's like, I can't even explain it. God, this is so great. How did it even work out? Well, all things are possible with God. Right? God, you put this new ministry into my heart. Right now, we are looking at New Zealand trying to pass the abortion law. And you put this new ministry into my heart to adopt children. I've already got 6 kids, God. You want me to adopt kids? And to help all this at-risk mom? I'm going to get overwhelmed, God. But the Holy Spirit will be with you, and God will be with you. You're going to be fine. All things are possible with God. All I'm asking from all of us today is to respond how Mary responds. Now, church, before I do that, do we all believe that with God, all things are possible? Yes? Oh, not, no, I don't think some of you believe that. When the Holy Spirit is with you and you are partnering with God, come on, church, let's say it. All things are possible. Okay? And I'm encouraging you to respond like how Mary responds. This is how she responds. Let it be to me according to your word. Okay? This is Mary's famous response. God, I don't know how it's going to happen. Biologically, nope. That's what my mom told me. It's not going to happen. But God says it's going to happen. Let it be to me according to your words. I don't know how I'm going to be able to find those finance, but I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do this. I'm going to partner with them. I'm going to contribute. And God, I know you will come true for me. All things are possible. You see, when we respond like how Mary responds, God honors that. Okay, there's one thing you really need to know. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is our responsibility. Okay? God did not, is not going to tell you what is the outcome, because he wants to bring you through the journey. He wants to bring you through the adventure, right? If you're watching a K-drama, would you want to know the end? Or are you going to enjoy and get all the crying out before you reach to the end of the movie, right? So God is not going to spoil the results for you. He's going to take you on an adventure so you can enjoy the journey and grow in that journey. Okay? But what God is asking from us is obedience. That's our responsibility. We respond like how Mary responds. Let it be according to your words. Okay, I'm going to finish up with this story. And if I can have the music team up with us. Do you know our GSM? GSM is one of our ministry in our church. GSM stands for Guest Service Ministry. Our director, Winnie and Daniel Regal. Okay, so this is our current director. Woo! So about 2 years ago, when we were still in Auckland Grammar Girls School having our services, okay, the director during that time, the awesome couple Mabasa, they resigned from GSM. Okay, many of you will know them. They resigned from GSM because they accepted God's interruption to be an invitation to plant a church in Hamilton. Okay, so they accepted that role and they went to plant a church in Hamilton. So I was left with a gap. I was like, oh, who's going to lead this ministry right now? So I got all the team leaders. So we have 4 team leaders. And I sat all of them down for lunch and we discussed how we're going to do this, how we're going to approach this, who's going to lead. We are going to move into Karaka in a few months' time. Okay, we can't be doing this without a director. Okay, so in the meeting, we discussed, and we Ash Nishimura raised up her hand and said, "Pastor, I'm going to do it. And I know all the other team leaders will support me." And at that time, we felt, yes, Ash is the right person, right? She is very methodical. She is a process lady. She knows how to put things in place. Okay, so she got us into this place. But at the time when Ash said, "I'm going to be doing it," we agreed that it's only going to be a temporal season, because she felt that she was called to help during that season to help us move in. So we moved in. She got a parking sorted. She got our greeters sorted, the hospitality, everything sorted. And then 4 or 5 months later, Ash said, "Pastor, did you remember our conversation? It's time for me to step down." I was like, "Oh, okay, yes. I'm going to pray and see who God is going to reveal the next director to me." So I went home. I actually not pray like this. I like, "God, help. I'm in dire need." And God revealed to me, "Speak to Winnie and Daniel." I was like, "Okay, I will speak to them." And we know that we're going to have a team leaders meeting in one of the evening. Okay, so I was prepared to speak to Daniel and Winnie during that time and that meeting. Something happened. I believe I was running the finance meeting. So I got a little bit late. I went down to the GSM meeting, and they already finished food, and they were just sitting down discuss. And Ash has told everyone that she's stepping down, and Pastor Alfred will announce who's going to be, not announce, he's going to approach some of you guys to be the team leader. And Daniel and Winnie were sitting there. I went down, I said, "Hello, everyone." And before I could say anything, I said, "Thank you, Ash. You know, I honor Ash." And then I said, "Well, in my heart," I said, "God impressed in me to approach Daniel and Winnie." And they were both, you know why? Because on that same night, they were going to announce that they're going to step down as team leaders and walk away from the ministry. And the same time, I sat there when I heard that. I said, "You're going to walk away from the ministry?" I didn't say that out loud. In my mind, I was like, "How dare you?" I got a shock. I was like, "God, you're kidding me, right? Am I hearing you wrong? I thought I'm prophetic. You told me Daniel and Winnie, and they want to step away from the ministry." And I look at them and I don't know if some of you remember that. I was like, "Oh, great. But actually, I want to tell you, Daniel and Winnie, that God actually says," I still say it in faith, okay? I'm going to interrupt their life. I still say it in faith that, "Winnie or Daniel, actually, God told me that to ask you to consider to take on the ministry, to be the director of the ministry." And then both of them is like, I'm sure in their mind, they're like, "How dare you, Pastor?" So, what did they do? Just like any good Christian would do, they said, "Okay, we'll go back and pray about it." That's a polite way of saying no. Right? Wow. So, 1 week later, when I went home that night, my heart was like flat. Okay, I said, "God, how do we resolve this crisis? Okay. That one couple you told me to approach says that they want to step down on the same night." And God says, "Don't worry, I've got it." I said, "Okay, maybe I'm start thinking about all the other team leaders. Okay, maybe I can start calling them. He said, "Nope, they said they're going to pray about it 1 week. You wait 1 week." Okay, so I went back. I just complained to God. You are allowed to complain to God, by the way. So I complained to God and let God know how I felt about the whole thing. And then 1 week later, I spoke to Winnie and Daniel. I said, "Hey, Daniel and Winnie, have you made the decision? Have you prayed about it?" And they said, "Yes, we will take on this role." I was like, "Ooh, God is real. Awesome. I think I'm still prophetic." Okay. To my surprise, they're like, "Yes, I would do it." But so I journey with them. It's like, "Okay, tell me what happened. You know, why did you want to resign and then suddenly now you want to take on this role?" Well, during that time, their lives has it's really quite challenging. And I know Daniel's father was really, really sick in Canada. So he was carrying the burden. He was the only son with a lot of sisters. So he was carrying the burden. Father was really, really sick in Canada. Their visa has not been approved. They are still financially trying to figure things out how to get their visa done. Their daughters were still young. One is coming to become a teenager. And when she becomes a teenager, she will know everything, right? So then they will have to up their game as parents. And Daniel just started a new job. Still very uncertain of the schedule. And they don't even have a permanent house to stay, right? I'll let them tell you the story, but they were all crammed into one room for more than a year, and they are like, trying to figure out their lives. So everything points to no. And when they want to step down, it's because they felt inadequate in being a team leader. Not even directors of the whole ministry, just a team leader. They just felt inadequate. The people are of a different generation. They don't know how to speak to them anymore. And that's why they decided to step down. And then God suddenly said, no, you're going to be a director. So Daniel, to his credit, is not just a polite disguise when he said, we're going to pray about it. He actually went home and prayed about it. Both of them went home and prayed about it. And this is what he told me. God audibly spoke to him. God audibly says, walk with me. He's like, he turned around to Winnie. Did you say that? I just heard God says, walk with me. And he's just like, oh, maybe it's just something that he heard. And then in his next day in his devotion, he was still negotiating with God, and God revealed himself again. In his devotion, he was reading, and God says, what are you waiting for? So he's like, you know, God is really tugging their hearts. Okay. So now, he found the assurance that God is actually with them. Okay, all the inadequacy that they have felt, all the life situation, all the challenge that they are feeling, suddenly seems so trivial. Because you know what? He heard from God that says, I'm going to be with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. And you're going to be fine. You're just going to be fine. See, the request is a major interruption to his life, to their lives. But with God's assurance, they accepted the invitation to go on this journey, to go on this adventure with God. And right now, our GSM ministry is thriving. Why don't you give that couple a great hand? They responded how Mary responded. Let it be to me according to your words. Okay? Because remember, while we still have challenges in our GSM ministry, no ministry is perfect, we're still working through. Remember, outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is our responsibility. Okay? For all you believers out there, I believe God has interrupted your lives. Really, I truly believe. Because as believers, God always wants to reveal himself. And I really like what Katrina said this morning. It's not what we do that make God good. It's because he is great and his love endures forever. So don't get me wrong. Don't think that I need to do this in order to win God's approval. You have already won God's approval. God has already loved you so much, so much. And because he loves you so much, so much, he wants to make your life purposeful. He wants to invite you to this journey, to this adventure to go with him. Okay? But you know, deep in your heart, you know God has interrupted your life. Maybe God is asking you to join the Connect group right now. If you're not in the Connect group, you know God is asking you to join the Connect group. Or maybe if you've been in a Connect group for a while, God is asking you, why don't you consider to be an intern and learn to run a Connect group? Some of you are like, thinking, is that me? Yeah, it's you. Maybe God is asking you to serve in a ministry. Don't just sit there. Serve in a ministry. There's always room in a kids' church to serve. There's always room in our guest ministry, our music ministry, our multimedia. If you don't have a ministry that you want to join, come and speak to me. And we will put you in a position where you can go on that adventure with God. Maybe God is asking you to reconcile with a brother or a sister or a relatives that the relationship has gone astray. And you're like, God, I really cannot do this. I've been to Freedom Weekend, but yet it's still so hard. Take a step of faith. Let it be to me according to your words. Because with God, everything is possible. Maybe you're in a romantic relationship right now that you know is not pleasing to God. Wow, Pastor, you're really getting serious. Yeah, I am. You know it's not honoring to God. And God has been nagging your heart. Get that right. Get that right. So I encourage you, go speak to your discipler, your connect group leader. God, help me. And God will help you. Maybe there's a family member that does not know Jesus. And God is asking, you be the voice. You be the face of Jesus to them. Reach out to them. I know sometimes with family it's difficult. But with God, everything is possible. You've been resisting, but this morning, God is knocking on your heart. I encourage you to accept the invitation and let God do the impossible. As you stepped out in faith, remember, write this down. Take a picture, tweet it, whatever you want to do. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Okay. For those of you sitting in here who does not know Jesus Christ yet, and you know, why is there a nagging in my heart? It's actually God inviting you to come and know Him more, to discover Him. You may not understand everything now. You may not think you're worthy. You may think that I need to clean up my mess before I come to Christ. No, no. Just come as you are and let God do the impossible. God loves us so much that He doesn't just come and die on the cross and raise from the dead to give us an eternal life that we can just cruise by. No. He loves us so much that He wants us to partner with Him in this great adventure that He has for all of us. If you speak to any of the leaders here, yes, it's hard, it's difficult, but it's rewarding knowing that God is with you. You speak to some of our missionaries, wow, it's hard on the mission field. The campus students, Cambodia, it's hard. But God is with me, and that adventure is worth more than anything else. Okay. In a sermon like this, I think we can respond. But this morning, I'm going to do it a little bit different. Instead of responding in worship, maybe I'll get the music team to lead us in a song, but not lead us in a song, to do a song. But I want you to turn to a group of three, okay? Could be just anyone. You turn around, and I want us to discuss these two questions, okay? So it allows you to process a little bit and not just hear a sermon and then, you know, walk away from it. Maybe right now we can do that. You find a group of three or four people, you know, just sit together, process and talk about these two questions. Okay? What is God asking you to do or believe right now? And what is your response to what God is asking you to do or believe? Okay, so while the music team is going to be doing that song, why don't you turn around? Everybody speak. If you're your own culture, speak in your cultural dialect. That's fine. Okay, just everybody discuss.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes
to fulfill the law of the prophets, to a virgin gave the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
If you want to discuss this a little bit more with your connect group leader in your connect groups, I encourage you to do that. But you know, church, really, even as we approach Christmas season, I know we're in New Zealand, normally we're tapering off to summers and stuff like that, but pray and consider what God has been interrupting you and see as a possibility, as an invitation to go on an adventure with Him. Okay, I'll just pray and then we'll dismiss. We'll do that. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, O Lord. Father, thank you for all the invitations that you come into our lives, O Lord God, Father. Even while we are confused or when we are troubled, O Lord God, Father, Father, you know that there are greater things in us that we can achieve. Father, we submit ourselves to you, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, that the word that has been spoken this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to let it marinate in our soul and in our spirit, O Lord God, Father. Father, thank you for the invitation and help us to respond in a way that is honoring to you. We bless you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, service is finished. There's teas and coffees. If you are a first-time visitors, please join us at a guest corner. We have special